Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to do a deep dive into something a little different.
Ooh.
Yeah, a Kabbalah mini quiz I found on the Spiritual Seek.
You know,
Yeah.
those quizzes, they always have me.
Yeah.
You always have me going down these like rabbit holes of discovery.
I know, right? And so this one, I've got to be honest with you, I'm a little intimidated by it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of these Kabbalah terms like Ein Sof
Right.
and Tzimtzum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not exactly like in my everyday vocabulary.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's normal to feel overwhelmed when you're first starting to learn about Kabbalah.
Right.
It's a very rich tradition and complex,
Yeah.
but that's what makes it so fascinating.
Okay. So I am all about expanding my perspective.
Good.
So let's just jump right into this quiz.
Okay.
And maybe you can help me
Of course.
decode some of these mysteries
Yeah.
for myself and for everyone listening.
Absolutely.
Okay. So first question. What is the primary text of Kabbalah that serves as a foundational work for its teachings?
That's easy. It's the Zohar.
Oh, okay. The
Sure.
Zohar.
Yeah.
I know that's the Book of Splendor in English, right?
That is correct.
Sounds pretty intense.
It's considered the most important text in Kabbalah.
Okay.
It's a collection of mystical commentaries on the Torah.
Okay, so what kind of things does it delve into?
Like the nature of God, the creation of the universe,
Okay.
and the soul's journey.
Okay.
It's written in Aramaic. It's
Yeah.
known for
It's not exactly like
its very mystical language
Yeah.
and symbolic imagery.
Light reading.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Question two. In Kabbalistic thought, what does the term Ein Sof refer to?
Ha! Ein Sof.
This is a real head scratcher for me.
Well, it's a fundamental concept in Kabbalah,
Okay.
and it literally translates to without end.
Okay.
So it refers to the infinite,
Wait.
boundless aspect of God.
Okay.
The ultimate source of all that is.
So not God as like a personified being, but
Right.
more like this ultimate cosmic energy, the
Exactly.
force behind creation.
That's a good way to think about it,
Okay.
because Kabbalah emphasizes that the true essence of God is beyond human comprehension,
Right.
beyond any name or form that we could even conceive of.
Okay.
So Ein Sof represents that unknowable, limitless ground of being.
Okay, my mind's starting to stretch a little bit already.
Good.
Question three. Which sephira in the Tree of Life corresponds to wisdom?
Okay.
Now, I've seen depictions of this Tree of Life,
Yes.
but I'm completely lost on what a sephira actually is.
So the Tree of Life in Kabbalah is a symbolic diagram,
Okay.
represents the different aspects of God
Okay.
and the process of creation.
Yeah.
And each sephira is like a station or an attribute on this Tree of Life.
So like a quality or
That's a good
emanation
quality.
of the theme.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So the sephira that corresponds to wisdom
Okay.
is chokmah.
Chokmah, wisdom. Okay, that makes sense. But is it like the wisdom that we gain from like books and experience, or is it something different?
It's more like
More mystical.
the flash of insight,
Like
the
what?
intuitive knowing,
Okay.
that aha moment
Okay.
where understanding kind of dawns.
Got it.
It's associated with pure potential, the creative spark that gives rise to all knowledge and manifestation.
So it's not about accumulating
That's
facts.
more than that.
It's about tapping into
A deeper
a
source
deeper source
of.
of understanding.
Exactly. It's about aligning ourselves with that flow of divine wisdom
Ooh, I like
that permeates all creation.
aligning ourselves with the flow of divine wisdom. Sounds like a
Yeah.
powerful practice.
Yes.
Okay, on to question four. What is the purpose of studying Kabbalah according to traditional Jewish belief?
I like this one.
This feels like a profound question.
It is.
Yeah.
It has.
With some profound answers.
Very much so. The answer is to understand divine mysteries and improve one's spiritual life.
Okay. So it's not just about intellectual knowledge.
No.
It's about using that knowledge to deepen our connection
Exactly.
to the divine, to like grow
But
spiritually
yes.
and to live a more meaningful life.
It's a path of self-discovery
Right.
and transformation guided by these mystical teachings.
Yeah, I like that. So it's almost like knowledge and spirituality are intertwined in Kabbalah.
They are very much so.
Fascinating. All right, ready for question five.
Hit me.
This one really threw me for a loop.
Okay.
What does Tzimtzum describe in Kabbalistic cosmology?
Ah, Tzimtzum, one of the most challenging concepts,
I have no clue.
but also one of the most profound.
Okay.
It describes the contraction or the withdrawal of God's infinite light.
Wait, God contracting?
Yes.
How can something that's infinite contract?
Well, you have to remember, these are mystical metaphors.
Right.
It's not a literal physical contraction.
Okay.
But it's more like a self-limiting of divine power. A stepping back to allow something other than God to exist.
Okay, so is it helpful to think about it like an artist intentionally leaving blank space on a canvas?
Yes.
It's not about absence. It's about
Snitchsum.
It's about creating space for something else to emerge.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Tzimtzum is about creating that possibility for a universe distinct from God.
Okay.
A world where we have free will.
Right.
And the capacity to choose our own paths.
Wow. So it's like God saying, I'm not going to micromanage everything.
Right.
I'm going to give you the space to create and evolve.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a whole new way to look at creation.
It is.
I like that a lot. And that leads us to a really interesting question.
Yes.
About our role in all of this, which is where Tikkun Olam comes in.
Exactly.
But you know what? I just want to pause here for a second.
Okay.
Just these first five questions.
Yeah.
They're already packed with so much.
Oh.
Like to unpack.
They are.
Like each term is a doorway into a whole new universe of thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe we should just tackle like one of these at a time.
Okay, let's do that.
So we'll dive into Tikkun Olam and the rest of the quiz in part two.
Sounds good.
All right. Don't go anywhere, folks.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone.
All right. So we left off with Tikkun Olam.
Right. Tikkun Olam.
This is one of those terms I've heard before,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't really explain it.
Okay.
It sounds very positive, though.
It is very positive.
Yeah.
Okay, so question six.
Okay.
In practical terms, what does Tikkun Olam mean within Kabbalistic practice?
Let's hear it.
The answer is engaging in acts that repair or improve the world.
Okay.
Spiritually or socially.
Okay, so like doing good deeds, making the world a better place.
Yes, but...
Like, is there more to it than that?
It's more than just random acts of kindness.
Okay.
In Kabbalah, Tikkun Olam isn't just about being nice.
Right.
It's about recognizing the interconnectedness of everything.
Okay.
Understanding that our actions have a ripple effect throughout the cosmos.
So like our actions have cosmic significance.
Yes.
That's a pretty powerful thought.
It is. Every act of healing justice and compassion contributes to restoring harmony in the universe.
So even small acts can cause a big impact.
Yes. Even small acts can have a huge impact.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that we have a responsibility to heal the world.
Right.
To bring it closer to a state of wholeness.
That's making me think about how sometimes we feel powerless.
Yeah.
Like you can't change the world.
Right.
But this suggests that everyone...
We all have a part.
Has a part to play.
Yes.
And like our actions actually do matter.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be about these like grand gestures.
Right.
It could be as simple as offering a kind word to a stranger.
Okay.
Or standing up for what's right.
Right.
Even when it's difficult.
Yeah. I like that.
Those everyday acts of courage and compassion.
Right.
They're the building blocks
totally.
Of a better world.
I love that. Okay. So we made it through all six questions.
We did.
Of this Kabbalah mini quiz.
We did.
And I have to say, even though some of these concepts were like hard for me to wrap my head around, I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. It's amazing how a simple quiz can open up these profound avenues of exploration.
We've only just scratched the surface of Kabbalah. But that little glimpse has been pretty mind-blowing.
I think that's the nature of any true spiritual path.
Right.
There's always more to discover more, to learn more, to embody.
So, okay, but before we get too carried away with like the infinite possibilities, maybe we should just go back to that scoring system.
Yes.
Just for fun.
A little self-assessment.
Yeah.
Never hurts.
Okay, so if you answered all six questions correctly.
You're an expert.
Congratulations. You're a Kabbalah expert.
Woo!
Five or six correct answers.
Evolving Kabbalist.
You're an evolving Kabbalist.
On the right track.
Three or four correct means you're on the right track.
Yep.
And if you only got one or two, correct.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe Kabbalah is just not your thing.
Maybe Kabbalah's not your jam yet, but hey, no judgment here.
Yeah, exactly. The real value isn't in the score.
Yeah.
But in sparking that curiosity and the desire to learn more.
I am definitely feeling that spark. My curiosity is piqued.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I'm ready to dive back in to some of these concepts. Ein Sof, Tzimtzum, Tikkun Olam.
They're all so rich.
They're so rich with meaning. I feel like we could spend hours unpacking each of them.
We could.
I know. Okay.
So where do you want to start?
Let's revisit that first question about the Zohar.
Okay.
The foundational text of Kabbalah.
Okay.
We talked about its commentaries on the Torah.
Yes.
But I'm curious about the language.
Okay.
And the imagery that it uses.
Yes.
Is it like super dense and academic, or is there like a more...
It's a complex text.
Yeah.
But it's also incredibly beautiful
and
evocative. The Zohar is full of mystical stories, metaphors, and allegories.
So it's not just like dry interpretations.
It's not just about dry interpretation. It's about using imaginative language to convey spiritual truths that are beyond the grasp of reason alone.
So it's like poetry meets philosophy meets mystical revelation.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
The Zohar invites us to engage with it on multiple levels.
Okay.
To use both our intellect and our intuition to decode these hidden meanings.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion
to
reveal something.
Something unexpected.
Unexpected and profound at the core.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of uncovering layers, let's revisit the concept of Ein Sof.
Okay.
That infinite, boundless aspect of God
right.
that we discussed earlier.
Yes.
I'm curious, how do Kabbalists actually approach something so vast and incomprehensible?
That's what I've been thinking about too.
Yeah. Like, how can you connect
with
something that's by definition beyond our understanding?
It is a paradox.
Yeah.
And that's where the beauty of mystical practice comes in.
Okay.
Kabbalah teaches that we can't truly grasp Ein Sof with our limited human intellect.
Yeah.
It's something we can only approach through intuition, meditation, and a deep sense of awe and wonder.
So it's more about like experiencing the mystery than trying to like solve it.
Exactly.
Like surrendering at the vastness of the unknown.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the limits of our human perception.
Okay.
And opening ourselves to the possibility of a reality that transcends those limits.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It reminds me of how we often try to categorize and define everything.
Yes.
But sometimes the most profound truths lie in the spaces in between.
Exactly.
In the mystery that we can't fully grasp.
Yes, and Ein Sof is like the ultimate embodiment of that mystery.
Yeah. The source from which all things flow.
Right.
The wellspring of all creation.
Okay, my mind needs a little grounding.
Okay.
After that one.
Okay.
Let's shift gears a little bit and revisit Chokhmah.
Okay.
Which is the Sephira on the Tree of Life.
Yes.
That corresponds to wisdom.
Wisdom.
We talked about how it's that flash of insight, the aha moment.
The aha.
But I'm curious, how does that intuitive knowing translate into like practical wisdom in our daily lives?
That's a great question. And it gets to the heart of how Kabbalah bridges the gap between the spiritual and the practical.
Okay.
Chokhmah isn't just about having brilliant ideas.
Right.
It's about the ability to see the bigger picture, to connect the dots, to make choices that align with a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world.
So it's like having a compass.
Yes.
That points us in the right direction.
A compass.
Even when we can't see the whole map.
Exactly. It's that inner knowing that guides us towards our highest potential, even when we're faced with uncertainty or difficult choices.
I love that idea of an inner compass.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how often we get caught up in the details.
Right.
And we lose sight.
Of what really matters.
Of what really matters.
Yes.
Chokhmah seems like a reminder.
It is.
To tap into that deeper wisdom that resides within us all.
It absolutely is. And the more we cultivate that connection
to
Chokhmah, the more we align ourselves with that flow of divine wisdom.
I like that.
And allow it to guide our thoughts, our actions, and our decisions.
This conversation is making me realize how much wisdom is actually packed into this seemingly simple mini quiz.
Right.
I feel like we could spend hours.
I know, me too.
Unpacking each concept.
Hours.
It's amazing how much depth there is.
I know, it's a never-ending
journey
of discovery.
Speaking of journeys.
Yes.
I'm ready to embark on the next leg of ours.
Okay.
Shall we revisit question four?
Yes.
And delve a little deeper into the purpose of studying Kabbalah.
Let's do it.
I'm curious. Beyond personal spiritual growth.
Okay.
Are there any like communal or social implications?
There are.
To these teachings?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we often think about spirituality as this like personal journey.
Yeah.
But I'm sensing that Kabbalah also has this like strong social dimension.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Absolutely remember the concept of tikkun olam that we discussed earlier, repairing the world.
Yeah.
It isn't just a personal aspiration.
Yeah.
It's a collective responsibility.
So it's not just about like individual enlightenment.
Right.
It's about using that enlightenment to make a positive impact on the world around us.
Exactly. Kabbalah teaches that the individual and the collective are intertwined.
Right.
Our personal growth is inseparable from the well-being of the community and the world as a whole.
Okay. I'm starting to see how this all connects.
Okay.
But I gotta admit, the concept of Simsum God contracting to make space for creation, it's still a bit of a mind-bender for me.
Yeah.
Like, how can something infinite contract?
It's definitely a challenging concept.
Yeah.
But it gets to the heart of how Kabbalah views the relationship between the divine and the created world.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's a mystical metaphor, not a literal physical event.
So maybe instead of thinking about it as a contraction,
mm-hmm.
we could think about it as a kind of self-limiting of divine power.
Yes.
Like God choosing to create a world that has its own autonomy and freedom.
That's a really insightful way to put it. Zimsum isn't about God disappearing or diminishing.
Right.
It's about creating a space where something other than God can exist and flourish.
And that something other is us.
Yes.
With our free will.
Yes.
And capacity to make choices.
Exactly.
So both good and bad.
Both good and bad Zimsums opens up the possibility for a world where we're not just puppets of the divine will, but co-creators with God, participating in this ongoing unfolding of creation.
Okay. That's both empowering and a little terrifying.
It is.
It means that our choices really do matter.
They do.
We have a responsibility to use our freedom wisely.
And that's where Tikkun Olam comes in.
Right.
It's the recognition that we have a role to play in repairing the world, in bringing it closer to a state of wholeness and harmony.
So Tzimtzum is like the cosmic setup.
Yes.
And then Tikkun Olam is our call to action.
Yes. It's like God is saying, hey, I've given you this amazing world.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn to take care of it and make it even better.
I like that a lot.
It highlights that profound responsibility that comes with our freedom.
Right.
You know, we're not just here to enjoy the ride.
Right.
We're here to contribute, to heal, to make a difference.
This whole conversation is making me rethink my own role in the world.
Good.
It's not just about my own personal journey.
Right.
It's about how I can contribute to the well-being of the whole.
And that's the true essence of Tikkun Olam.
Right.
Recognizing that we're all interconnected, our actions have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
That even small acts of kindness and compassion can contribute to a more harmonious world.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
I feel like we only scratched the surface of Kabbalah.
Yeah.
But it's already given me so much to think about.
Me too.
And to all of you listening, we hope this exploration has sparked your own curiosity about Kabbalah.
Yes.
It's a rich and complex tradition, but it ultimately offers this message of hope and empowerment.
It does.
A reminder that we each have a part to play in healing the world and bringing it closer to a state of wholeness.
Keep seeking, keep questioning, keep exploring.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time, keep seeking.